Atlanta chef Juan Montier approaches his food much like a designer. Before constructing, he sketches. He even sketches the cocktails in advance of a client or pop-up dinner. I spoke with Juan Montier about the intersection of food and design, and in advance of Valentine's Day, why food is love. You studied architecture.
Yeah, I have a bachelor's of architecture, but I never really, interior design was more my love, and it allowed me to design right off the bat. I can draw, you know, relatively well. And when I got to New York City, the Grande Dame of Interiors, Margot Grant, saw that I could draw and put me on a big project, the Morgan Bank Tower, and the rest is history. I've been drawing and sketching and designing ever since.
Well, that aesthetic carries over toward your cooking and certainly your presentation. Is it typical for chefs to draw their food?
No. They're only the ones with an architectural background. I use this as collateral for my clients because they use it as a talking point at cocktail parties. And I primarily started sketching the food because I needed to communicate to my team exactly what I wanted it to look like.
Would you talk about the intersection of food and design?
You know, my friends, my other interiors friends say, and I'm not supposed to use this haughty voice, but don't you miss interiors? I explain to them that I have never stopped designing. Whether I'm designing food, sketches, and floral design, events, all of that is designed to me, and it keeps me fresh, and it's just what I want to do at age 57.
When did you decide you wanted to be a chef?
You know, in my family, my parents insisted on all of us being professionals of some sort. I was supposed to be an engineer. I wanted to be an artist. My dad and I settled on architecture. That's how that happened. But I've had a passion and love for cooking from a very, very early age. You know, I was the delinquent child and part of the occupational therapy that my mother would impose on us. I was assigned to my Aunt Prudence, who was 84 then. She died 20 years later at 104. But she and Lonnie Soils, the lady who raised us and cooked for us every day, imbued that joy of cooking. You know, the smell of yeast when you knead bread. Oh my God, you can't. I mean that'll hook anybody for life. So I've been in that vein ever since I can remember, and even when I went to college, I never stopped cooking. My roommate and best friend at the time, and still is, was a food science major, and they would butcher every Friday. So whatever he butchered, we would cook duck l'orange, beef short ribs, goose, the whole thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we would rent the kitchen in the basement and fill the lower level with the smell of roasting duckling.
So this was long before the abattoir movement.
Long before.
You acquired this appreciation. Well, hearing you talk so lovingly about your aunt and the cook who worked in your parents' home, it's obvious that your attitude toward food is not just highfalutin, that it comes from love. But you've cooked for some pretty high-profile celebrities in your time. Any juicy stories to tell us, or do you not cook and tell, Juan?
I have a hard time not cooking and telling, but most of the time, the experiences are wonderful. For instance, I was out in Malibu cooking for Dinah Ross, who employed my wife for many years and are now good friends. And she was nothing but loving and receiving. I would pull something off the grill, off the stove, and she would taste it and revel in it. And I asked her, I said, Miss Ross, everybody says that you're difficult, but you're awesome. She said, Juan, I'm not difficult. I just want it the way I want it.
Perfectionist.
I picked that up. I just want it the way I want it. It's not a bad thing, is it?
That's not a bad thing. It is not a bad thing, but it is a sort of lifestyle, if you will, and attitude that's more readily available to people with high incomes. You know, do you have...
A man can dream.
I was just thinking about, you know, spreading your appreciation of the beauty of food and design and presentation. And, you know, is there a way that people can do that more in our hectic, crazy, everyday lives without and high incomes?
With that, I say... Yes. One of my cooking mantras, philosophies, is that your eyes eat before your mouth does. One of the classes that I taught for the Choice Against Obesity group was to show them how to take the basic things that you get from Kroger and plate it. So they all had the same ingredients, and there were seven groups, and I went around and sketched with them the different platings for each of the groups. Same mashed potatoes, same green beans, same carrots, same chicken. And we just restyled it, and it opened up their world. I heard them squealing, and they were in major competition trying to make their food as beautiful as, you know, what we sketched and what their other friends' food is. It was just so great design, great-looking food is accessible. A little tip. A bottle of olive oil will make your vegetables glisten. Why do you want it to be glisten? Because you want sexy food. And you know why you want sexy food.
Well, we're going to get to that. You and your wife, Judith, have an annual pop-up dinner for Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Why is love celebrated with food?
Well, for me, cooking is how I express my love for Judith. It's my love language. I actually try to express that love to everybody that comes in contact, that experiences, that revels in my food. I trust you experienced it when you ate with us.
I did.
And you know, it also works on many, many levels. I have the rare opportunity of having a young teenage son who we have that love language, that common language, that bond of cooking that allows us to spend effortless time together. And we both come out proud and happy and full that we did that together.
Chocolate is the go-to food we usually associate with Valentine's Day. And in my estimation, chocolate, we should go to the 364 days in
celebration,
addition.
Right?
Yeah. But there must be other foods associated with love. Do you believe in aphrodisiacs?
I want to believe in all of that stuff. I don't know exactly how it works, but I'm still in the quest of the best aphrodisiac. But a food for lovers, I think... Oh, my God. Something that you could eat with your fingers and your lips, like artichoke dipped in butter and garlic, and you share it. I mean, that sound that it makes, everybody knows that sound. I don't have to do it on the radio.
Oh, do it. I love
I'm
it.
Sorry. But that sort of sound, you know, what you share, and it doesn't have to be complicated. Anything presented with love is... You know, is you sharing that love?
Well, I think that given your attitude, your aesthetic, and your talent as a chef and artist, there is lots to love.
Thank you. Thank you. I do have to say, though, you brought up the pop-up. We are going to have a chocolate ganache coated white chocolate dusted with matcha powder and lychee fruit as part of our chocolate finish.
You had me at chocolate.
And I will show you the sketch of how dramatically we present that. We won't just put a slab on the plate. We take the chocolate and cut it into a triangle, stand it up, cover it with white chocolate, and then dust it with this O2 hot green tea powder. And that, with the balls of lychee fruit, which are white, we stuff them with plum wine, plumped raspberry, cranberry, and it looks like a flower. It looks like a floral.
Now, so, are we combining Chinese New Year with Valentine's?
You know, our food is a global expression of food. So I will steal inspiration from a Japanese meal or a Moroccan meal and fuse it together into something that's my own. And I don't really want to be defined by a specific genre when all of them are available and open for fun and joy. And I mean, come on.
I like that idea. Inclusive food. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Chef Juan, it's been a joy.
Oh, thank you so much, Lois.